Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. TJ. TJ's in Oakland. What's up, TJ?
Hey, man, Mitch, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
What's up, TJ?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, no, I wanted to call and add a little bit of positivity. You know, I know the Warriors got their tail kicked on Sunday, but I look at it like we came off three good wins. We had a tough loss, but the Lakers, you know, they took it personal when we beat them last time. And, yeah, I think LeBron James knows us better than it. Anybody. I think he knows the Warriors offense even better than Wiggins and Oubre at this point, since he's been playing big games against us for so long and he's a student of the game. And then when it comes to the Wiseman and LaMelo situation, yeah. I think Wiseman was the right choice because LaMelo is a facilitator. If you put him on the floor with Draymond, then that renders Draymond useless because you can't spot Draymond up. You know, you take the ball out of Draymond's hands and he's not facilitating it. What is he doing for our offense? You know, that's just something to consider. But, yeah, that's my take. And thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, and thank you for calling and listening. It's got an interesting point about they would have another facilitator with Ball and Draymond. And, you know, Ball, I mean, he gets –
he'll shoot it, Steiny. He'll take it to the rack. He ain't just
shoot it better
now.
Than Wiggins.
Well –
I know. I take cheap shots at Wiggins. I know. You know, Rich had talked about the Warriors not being ready to play and how that happens. And here's what I think. And somebody's backing up a truck. Does somebody know something? Who's backing up a truck?
Is that you? It's garbage day. Garbage day today. And we're right at a little intersection where they got, I guess, the route. They have to back up. So we get – I'm telling you.
I looked out my window, Dibs. I said, they're here already. They come tomorrow.
Yeah, I forgot to put the green bin out, so I got issues on the backside, Steiny.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it can be.
What do you think of this?
Give it to me.
Okay. The Warriors, Kerr said, we weren't ready to play. Here's what I think. I know that sounds terrible, and people say, well, how can that happen? This is crazy. This is the NBA. You know, well, here's what I think happens, is the Warriors win three games in a row, and they're starting to figure things out, and they're feeling good about themselves. They've played pretty well over. They beat three teams that ain't bad. I get the – there are three 500 teams in the East, and, you know, Oubre had come alive. Curry was – and I just think they took the court Sunday like everything was just going to continue like it was without having to really dig deep like you always should be doing against a team that's really good. And I do think there was something to be said for, you know, the Lakers. They blew a 20-point lead last game. And LeBron can downplay stuff as much as the next guy, but they weren't going to – they weren't going to take their foot off the Warriors last night. They were not going to let it get to 10 or 12 and let Curry maybe do something magical. So, yeah, I think they got overwhelmed a little bit. It snowballed, but I don't think it's like, how can you not be ready to play?
Well, no, you got avalanched. You were down 20-5. It went from 9-3 to 20-5 in about 2 minutes' time, in the blink of an eye. And that thing, like you said, Steiny, they knew what happened last time these two teams met. Do you think that came up in the pregame at all? Do you think somebody said, guys, let's remember this is the team that we blew a 20-point lead against, so let's not let that happen again. There was a certain amount of determination. And when you think about it, Goo, 72 games in this regular season schedule, there's going to be one game that's their best effort, and there's another game that's going to be their 72nd best effort, invariably. And this one obviously is going to fall near the bottom. It stinks that it came off a three-game win streak, and it's against a Western opponent, but it's going to happen.
You know what, Dibs? I hear you. And, Stoney, I'm going to say this. If they hadn't blown those two games the way they had, this would be a five-game winning streak. So, to me, they can't afford, oh, we won three, we can let them hang and come in here and take the Warriors, Lakers lightly. This is why it's concerning to me, and I won't let it go. One, you can't ill afford to do that. You just lost, broke your heart twice with the two games. So, let's win five, six. And at the end of the day, the Lakers were without Anthony Davis, just like the Phoenix Suns, who boat raced you just like this, without Devin Booker. That's why you can't, to me, just throw them in the trash bin of, oh, we weren't ready for whatever reason. This has happened a few times. Denver, they were at full strength. But damn, no Anthony Davis and you get boat race like that. No Devin Booker and you get boat race like that on TNT. That's why I'm holding on to this. These losses, like, huh. And maybe it was a group effort, including the coach. For whatever reason, you did a no-show. Me at my last dentist appointment. But that's why I'm not just throwing it out. It's not just okay. You didn't win nine in a row and then slipped up. You just won three in a row, and that's the least you can do after smoking the two in Orlando and Charlotte. So to me, you should have took this stage to kick the Lakers' ass like the Thunder did when they were taking them into overtime, like the Wizards did when they beat the Lakers. But just to come out and be down Gertie by halftime, that's not cool.
I have a problem with you saying they should have beaten Orlando. They got outplayed by Orlando when it mattered most. There's a huge difference between Draymond blowing that game in Charlotte and what the Magic did to you. They scored virtually every possession they had the ball when they were down 10, 12 points. The Warriors could not stop the Orlando Magic. Vucevic got over on Draymond Green. Terrence Ross was a machine, and the Warriors had nobody, ain't Oubre, no Wiggins, who could shut down Evan Fournier. They lost that game to the Orlando Magic. They had no business winning that game because they couldn't finish it off. That's great. And guess what? They got outplayed down the stretch, plain and simple, by a huge margin. I mean,
Now, was Draymond able to tweet after that game, guys? Because I'm still trying to figure out these rules now. So that they lose to Orlando. Steph doesn't hit the game winner. It's a hard-fought game. You lose. After a game like that, you know, what's he allowed to do, Goo, according to the streets, according to super sensitive Warriors Twitter? Because I looked at the responses, the replies to this Draymond Green tweet about LaMelo Ball, and it's all over the board. There are a number of people who feel like you feel, Goo. You shouldn't be tweeting after a loss. There are other people who think, go ahead, Draymond, you know, appreciate you paying attention to our league. I just wonder if it's okay after a loss against Orlando to tweet.
Steiny, and I'm getting called. Some agree with me on the text line. Some are calling me SOFT. It's not soft. It's just think about your teammates and think about what position you put them in. And we don't know the answer to how Wiseman processed that tweet. But there are so many things you could have talked about on that tweet, Dibs. Talk about your rookie. Talk about why you got your ass kicked. But don't be going giving compliments like you're in Atlanta in the TNT studio. If that's what you got coming up next, great. But hold on to it, especially the nights you guys didn't even show up.
That's what I want you to tweet about. Talk to me about how you got beat by 30 and couldn't make it to halftime. How's that ankle feeling, Dre? You going to play tomorrow? You going to play Wednesday? You going to play Thursday? Yeah. Let's talk about that, Stiney.
So now you're going to dictate to people what they can and can't talk about. This is like Big Brother. This is like George Orwell's 1984, Goo. So you're saying, all right, lose by 30. Here's a list of things you can tweet about, Draymond. You can apologize to us for getting rolled. You can update us about your ankle. No, don't take a playoff. Live your life. Well, you're not defined by what you do for these 4 hours. For the next 20 hours, you can do whatever Daryl Johnson wants to do. Now, if it is a bad reflection on the station can act accordingly as your employer, et cetera, et cetera. But if you want to go out and bury me for the next 20 hours, go ahead. I mean, I'm your team and I can handle it. Talking about a professional not talking about his teammate. He didn't mention James Wiseman in the least. He simply pointed out. It's like me saying, if I hear Damon today and Damon says something funny and I tweet to Damon, man, Damon, you might That's be the totally best lead different. Host on the station. Do you think Steiny's going to feel some kind of way? Is he going to have his panties all up in a bunch?
That's a great example. But
I won't have it. It's not a great example.
Kate Scott's going to send me a voicemail and say, God. Oh, Dibs, I thought we were friends. You know, how dare you praise Damon over me? You think John Dickinson's going to chime in and say,
we're all on the same team, Dibs.
That's
this
a problem.
Is great, but we're all on the same team.
What
now,
gets
do
me
that
goo,
with another station, and Houston, we got a problem.
What gets me, Goo, is like you're talking about how the hell are the Warriors going to win 8 or 9 in a row? Do you ever just think they're not good enough to do that? Now, I got to take a look at their schedule in the second half of the season. Maybe they have a stretch that's friendly. But do you really think the Warriors are good enough right now to win 8 games in a row?
Steiny, to answer your question, they just basically, technically, in my mind, won 5 in a row.
Okay, they
didn't get they didn't get credit for it, but
they won in 2016.
7-9. You know, real quick, what you said about Orlando, you were wrong, Steiny. They suffocated Orlando and went up 13 points, and the faucet went dry. But you want to talk about
right, because they could be shut down.
We can't still be talking about an Orlando game from a week ago.
You're up 13 in the fourth. I mean, you need to win that game, Dibs. That's the bottom line. You're up 13 in the fourth.
They played 5 times since they played Orlando. I think we can turn the page on Orlando. We can agree to this. They lost the game. Now, whether or not they deserved to win or they didn't win. They didn't beat Charlotte. And they had a nice bounce back against Indiana. What matters now is what do you do these next 2 games and how do you come out of the break? It doesn't matter what happened on that trip.
Are you going to have your second best player?
I think so.
He got hurt.
I think so. Kerr said it wasn't that serious. Wasn't that serious. And the bottom line, Guru, is if we were doing a show in Orlando, we would not be saying, oh, man, did the Warriors blow that game? No, we'd be saying, man, a magic. What a great last 6 minutes where they shut down the Warriors and scored left and right. Dibley asked the question. The more important issue is the next 2 games for the Golden State Warriors. What do they need to do heading into the break? And also, Matt Barnes was on earlier, and he got into it a little bit about the officials in the NBA. We're going to take a listen to that on the other side, and we're going to put Matt Barnes up against it because he's talking about 2 people that really support officials. So we'll be listening to Matt Barnes on the other side, and we'll be right back on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We're going to have The Geeter, coming up in 10 minutes. And you may say, well, who's the Geeter? The Geeter is Chris McGee, studio host for the Lakers pre- and post-game on Spectrum Sports Network. I'm looking forward to talking to him to just see how he thought the Lakers were taking this game last night because it felt like they certainly took it seriously. We also have Guru's Lock of the Day coming up in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, from Guru to Geeter, it's going to be a great combo. Chris McGee, my old classmate at Cal State Northridge down there in the Valley. He's gone on to do some pretty good things. Good little career for Geeter. He's done huge
okay,
things.
Okay,
Dibs. I didn't want to do this, but
uh-oh.
Sometimes I can't let go. I just can't let go. I'm looking back at that Orlando game. All right.
Dibs, look at Dibs.
For
right.
some reason, the Warriors.
No, you're kidding, right?
No, I'm actually not, Dibs.
Please.
Because I need
to
remember.
Please tell me you're joking.
I'm not. I'm
please.
Actually not. The Warriors were outscored 28-8 in that fourth quarter. And remember, Goo, do you remember this? Yeah. They were actually down 7 with a minute to go. They weren't even in the game, and Curry made 2 crazy threes.
No doubt. Yep.
So, yeah. Come on. Got to give the Magic credit, don't you think?
Why?
I give them credit. It was a good, they came back for my boy Dibs' sake. Stoddy, let's move on.
Right, pick something to move on to, guys.
How about we start making money for the people, Steiny?
All right, let's
we,
do it.
What we do every single day at 1:20. It's all about chicken.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Luck be a lady tonight.
It's Guru's Lock of the Day, brought to you by BetQL. Get more information before you place your bets. Check out BetQL.com, an awesome website that uses data and simulations to help you be a better bettor. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY, that's promo code BAY, B-A-Y, for 20% off your next subscription at BetQL.com. You'll remember Friday, Guru had the Warriors -5.5 against the Hornets. Here's how that one went.
Draymond surveys, bounce pass in traffic to the cutting Curry, inside hand, left side of the bucket, and the Warriors lead by 1.
Talk about a guy that can see the court.
That was Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert right here on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors on Friday got their 3rd win in a row behind 12 points, 11 boards, and a career-high 19 assists from Draymond, including that one you just heard. The Dubs fell flat in L.A. last night, but they played well enough on Friday to move Goo to 11-3 on his locks of the day. And Goo, I got to tell you, this win streak following the back-to-back losses has been very, very impressive.
Let's keep it going, Kyle. I appreciate it. And right now, the Dallas Mavericks, fellas, are in Orlando, and so am I. Dallas Mavericks are hot. They look to go above 500. 7-3, Dibs and Steiny.
Are you telling me that the pick is in?
I said that was a Dallas guy, John.
We got to have order.
Monday. The pick
order.
Is in, Dibs. Right.
That's exciting.
I'm going Dallas -6 at Orlando. They're hot. The Mavericks are hot. 7-3 in their last 10. Orlando 13-21 overall, 8-10 at home. Big win for the Mavs Saturday night in Brooklyn. And Steiny and Dibs, I got to tell you, the Mavericks are going to be who they were last year. So they're -6. They got to win by 7. That's the pick, Mavs -6 tonight in Orlando.
It's crazy how all roads lead back to Orlando, despite me trying to get away from it.
Now, let me tell you something.
I forgot that.
Hey, Dibs, let me tell you something. The Mavericks are going to have to earn that win tonight.
Yeah.
They're not. Orlando's not giving them anything. Doncic and the boys are going to have to earn it. Let me look at the standings here.
Man.
Dallas K-Mage. With a win. Dallas is
too stony.
Dallas is in ninth spot, one behind the Warriors, a game and a half out. But only
– They're playing better. Yep.
They are. But only they've played 3 less games, so they're all in the win column. In the win column. The all-important loss column, Dibs, tied.
No, but that's significant because Dallas is a team that I think we all would have predicted would be ahead of the Warriors in the standings at the end of the year, and yet – they were one of the teams that you had gotten over on. So if Dallas starts to roll and if they're able to do what the Warriors were unable to do, go into the hotbed of basketball that is Orlando and pull off a victory in their only visit there, that would be a leg up Dallas versus Golden State just by the virtue of winning that Central Florida showdown.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's
briefly here, Steiny.
North
man,
Florida?
Playoff implications. Yeah, go ahead.
I know Orlando's 13-21. Gordon's been hurt, but we can put them thus far under the disappointing category, can't we? The Magic, they got some talent.
The Magic or the Mavericks?
Well, they do have talent.
The Magic.
It's all hurt. I mean, Gordon hasn't played in over a month. Jonathan Isaac's a hell of a player.
He's gone.
Markel
Fultz
is playing well for him. He's out for the year.
Please make it stop. honestly, honestly, if we're going to go through the Orlando Magic depth chart, then I don't even know what's going on anymore. Yeah. I mean,
that's a man of nuance. Minus six.
That's more than nuance as we go to the two deep on the Orlando Magic.
Mailman Steve. Mailman Steve is in Napa. What's up, Mailman Steve?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Guru, man, you are being so soft today, man. It's killing me. You once again, you are putting your insecurities onto Wiseman, man. Chill out with that, man. You need a binky with all this crybaby stuff, man.
But what insecurities? I'm being a teammate, man. A leader does not do that, bro. So what insecurities? You got your ass beat by 30 points and you're tweeting sweet nothings about somebody else? What am I missing? What insecurities is that?
You there,
what
mailman?
What about being a teammate, mailman?
Ooh, mailman might have taken the money run, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know, that was one of those, I'm going to give it to Guru, and then I'm going to hang up and act like Spadoni did it.
Anyway, come on, man. I'm being a good teammate. That's all. That's not in the teammate manual. That's all I'm saying. You guys think it is. I think differently. That's
no, don't. I'm Goo. Don't
you know
act
where
like I'm
at.
Don't act like I didn't agree with part of what you said.
Right. No doubt.
I
and
agree.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do. I'm just calling it out, man. I'm just shocked that my teammate would do that after a game we lost by 30 and also give it to the guy that your rookie is up against in Rookie of the Year. And so Draymond is just deafened to the fact that there's noise out there. Did the Warriors get it right? And my guy, 23, is going to – oh, man, Dips is great. That's just wow.
They lost by 26.
That would bother me.
No, so it's just it's if 26 117-91 would be nine carry the two would be 26. So if we're gonna if we're gonna be accurate, if we're gonna cast aspersions, let's just be accurate. Because if they lost by 16, would you feel differently? What if they lost by 6 to the Lakers? If what if that second unit came in and went on a 20-0 run and they got to within 6 but they lost by 6? Could he tweet then? Would it be okay then?
I don't
get it, Goo. I don't see.
Real quick.
Okay.
You're missing my point because you're focused on the deficit. 98% of what I am upset with is the subject matter that you're complimenting the wrong guy. When you got a rookie on your team trying to get the Rookie of the Year, you don't need Wiseman doesn't need his own teammate tweeting about the other rookie and how great he's doing. That's 98% of what I'm saying. It ain't about the score.
Right. So you're basically saying that Draymond Green is forbidden from praising any other rookie in our league this year because James Wiseman is, quote, going for Rookie of the Year, which, by the way, he's not going for Rookie of the Year. He's never said, I want to be Rookie of the Year, nor is he being played in a fashion where he even has a chance to be Rookie of the Year. So let's put that aside. And additionally, to think that Draymond Green isn't complimenting James Wiseman in person, we don't know what that relationship is like.
Well, it ain't been on Twitter. Let me tell you that. It ain't been on Twitter.
Because Twitter doesn't matter. You're putting this false import on Twitter. What matters is an actual human relationship, teammate to teammate. That's what
we
matters.
We've seen how
it
that goes. You get
Draymond
yelled at when you throw a bad
ball.
Pass, right? We've seen him get scolded. We seen him scold him, right? We see him cuss
what
out, whatever you want to say.
He,
it. So
does
we
he cry
that.
Or does he keep playing?
I don't
playing.
Know.
He keeps
I don't
playing.
Know, but for you to
you
say
you are projecting your feelings onto James Wiseman, and that's where I think
cool.
that you're way off. You're way off bounds on this.
What are
you're
basing
making it seem
that
like
it's okay?
That James Wiseman is upset. Nobody, Wiseman's never said one thing about Draymond Green. Like, oh, I wish Draymond wasn't so hard on me.
Dibs, we're grown-ass men. He doesn't have to say anything. You know, and you're part of a team now, it's a bad look. I know when we get done with this show and whatever you do for the rest of the day, Dan Dibley knows that's not a good look for Dre to be tweeting about another rookie and you got a rookie that's supposed to be better or as good as that rookie and your team passed on it. That's a bad look, Dibs.
First
you know
of all,
it, and I know
don't
you
tell
know.
Me what you think I know because I do know what I know and it's not that. And I know this, if a player, if a professional is so sensitive that they can't take a tweet that isn't even about them, then they have a bigger problem than otherwise is going to be able to be addressed. Because if you're 19 and 11 months old and you come into the NBA and you are put off by a tweet that's not even about you, then you've got bigger problems, in my opinion, than just whether or not you can shoot the ball from distance.
Let's take a listen to what Draymond Green said about Wiseman after Friday's game. This is after Friday's game against the Hornets.
Like I said before, I think guys are in his ear enough. You know, I don't want to talk to him about everything. I mean, number one, he missed 10 games or something like that, 7-8 games? So that's a setback. You know, that's 11 games of experience that he missed. And in saying that, he's still, I mean, we're 34 games in, so he's about 23 games in. You know, 23 games into his rookie year. All things considered, he's playing damn good. And he'll continue to get better. Is he frustrated? I'm sure he is. I mean, this is the first time in probably his life that he didn't step on the court and just dominate everybody like he wants to dominate them. That takes some adjusting. Or he can keep that same mentality, and at some point that's going to come, and he will dominate everybody like he's accustomed to. So, you know, if he get a little frustrated, it is what it is. That's kind of the nature of the game that we play. You know, we all go through those patches where we get frustrated. I think he's playing pretty well.
That's Draymond Green after Friday. You know, the other thing that we haven't really thought about that may be happening, what if Draymond Green is a little worried about Wiseman? Maybe his motor. Maybe his defensive rotations, all that kind of thing. Maybe he's been trying to get through to Wiseman by giving him tough love, and this was the latest step by taking it to Twitter. All right, let's jump out to the phone lines and welcome in Chris McGee. Chris McGee is Dan Dibley's friend. That's what he is. He's also the studio host for the Lakers pre and post on Spectrum Sports Network. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, guys. How's everyone doing up there in the Bay Area?
Doing well. Let me start with this. The Lakers got beat by the Warriors earlier in the season. Was there any indication that, you know, that game they were taken pretty seriously? And I mean the Lakers.
Yeah, I think the Lakers being up, what were they, up 22 in the third in that game and up 9 with maybe 5 minutes left in the fourth. I know us, as the studio show, continued to call that the worst loss of the year. I mean, it was just, I thought it was a little embarrassing the way the Lakers kind of played in that game. And kind of like, you can't do that to a team that I think is good in the Warriors and a guy like Steph Curry. And we all thought the Warriors earned that win and kind of stole it from the Lakers. So I think, you know, the Lakers definitely still had that thought in their mind because it's been brought up a lot. But that was the best they played in a few weeks, guys, was last night. They just hadn't been clicking like that offensively in a while. So it was good to see, at least from our end.
And the Warriors, just really a half night for most of the stars. They lose by almost 30. Draymond Green, after the game, tweets about another player in our league, Geeter. And I know LeBron James has done this a bunch as well. What's been the fan reaction to LeBron James talking about other players on other teams? Is it at all controversial, or is it just part of having LeBron on your team?
I think it's just part of having LeBron on the team. I think for guys like James Worthy, for Robert Horry, for Fish, those guys who I work with, it's just for them, they've had to get used to, you know, guys are friends and support each other. And I think there's some beauty in that as well. But I just think it's part of the culture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, Chris. You've seen the Warriors twice now, and I'm trying to tell my guys, you know what, come playoff time, Wiseman will take a few steps forward, and they're going to be a problem in the playoffs. When you look at this team through the two games, do you feel like that can happen? What do you think of the Warriors, this version of the Warriors?
Well, honestly, I mean, just to shoot it straight with you guys, I feel like this Warriors team reminds me of the Lakers team a couple of years ago when LeBron was in his first year and there was a lot of youth around and they were kind of missing that second star with Klay not being there. I've seen you guys play great recently. You had that 3-game win streak. You know, I think Draymond, when he's healthy and playing right, he's you know, he adds such a dimension that it's hard to guard, right? The guy can get 11 assists, yet he only shoots 38%, so how do you guard him? I feel like we said this in our pregame show yesterday. We think it's ridiculous that Steph isn't getting more talk for MVP. I mean, he had this Warriors team going into last night, 19-15. They're four games over 500. I mean, look at the rest of the league. The Nuggets have struggled. People have struggled, man. Like, there was no, you know, it was a weird offseason. We're in weird times. I mean, look at the East. The Warriors would be fourth. So the fact that Steph had him at 19-15 playing like he has, only missed one game. I did some stat yesterday. I think he made 75 threes in the month of February. The Lakers as a team only made, whatever, 130. So, you know, listen, you guys know I've been on your show before. I have a ton of respect for that, for the Warrior team. I think they're a playoff team, and I'm staying with it. Now, the truth is also there are some inconsistent guys on that team, right? I mean, well chronicled. I mean, Wiggins, Oubre. Like, Oubre played great against the Lakers the first time the Lakers played him and lost. That was a big part of it. Like, you know, the Warriors are built around Steph, Clay, and Draymond, just like the Lakers are built around Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So without Clay, you have to figure out pieces and how they fit. I mean, that system is Steph and how he makes everyone better around him. So if those guys aren't shooting the ball well or they have an off night, you know, combo that with the Lakers playing great on both ends of the floor, it's not going to go your way. It's a bad matchup. But I still think the Warriors are a playoff team. I really do. I think they're in that 6-7-8 slot.
Chris McGee, he's the studio host for Lakers Pre and Post on Spectrum Sports Network. He's joining us on 95.7 The Game. And what are the Lakers' kind of goals while Anthony Davis is out? LeBron a lot of times likes to kind of iterate what he wants. Has he kind of told everybody what he expects while Anthony Davis misses some time?
Yeah. I mean, obviously they want to stay afloat and keep pace with the Clippers and everybody else in that 2-3 kind of spot with Utah being, you know, 4 or 5 games ahead. But I think the biggest thing, guys, honestly, like during that 4-game skid, I mean, yeah, Anthony Davis, you're not going to make up for losing him, and I get that. But the biggest, most glaring thing for me was the loss of Schroeder for 4 games. They went 0-4. And what happens when you don't have Schroeder and Anthony Davis, now LeBron is literally the ball handler at all times, and he's never playing off ball. And when you get to the end of games or you get stagnant, it's basically him trying to create for everybody. They just don't have those guys on the team that can do that. It's a system built around those two stars, and everyone fits with those guys. That's why they're such a great team, a lot like the Warrior teams of the past. You know, guys fit with those superstars. You have to have guys that know how to space the floor and know how to play with them. But when they're asked to do more, they're not that effective. So with Dennis coming back, it all of a sudden just relieved a lot of pressure from LeBron, and I see his energy going up on the defensive end. So I think the loss of Dennis was huge. Having him back just kind of puts them back in the mix. I think, like, LeBron's realistic. He knows, you know, you're not going to win 10, 12, 15 games in a row without Anthony Davis, but I think he still holds this team to a standard of, you know, we have to compete at the highest level, and we got to do it on the defensive end without our leader. And one thing I've really started to love about LeBron that I think I didn't know before I started covering him is the fact that, you know, he gets a lot of flack up here. Everyone's so panicked about his minutes and he's not taking games off. And it's funny, guys. We live in a world where if guys load manage, you get heckled. If you play too much, you get heckled. I don't understand it. I mean, the guy gets paid to play basketball, and that's what he keeps telling everybody. I'm playing. I'm healthy. So we don't have Anthony Davis here. I'm going to play more minutes. So that's kind of how he feels. He's at a different stage than Steph in his career. He's older. So he's not concerned about the minutes right now. He wants to play, and I think we should applaud that instead of, you know, always trying to find ways to have a problem with it.
We got to have a problem with everything, Geeter. You know that.
I
have a problem with you trying to be so affable about it, quite frankly. But I'll handle that off the air. My question for you, Geeter, is the All-Star game, and LeBron's heading down to Atlanta, and Steph Curry's going. Two-part question, Geeter, if you can handle it, on state school education and all. First, should they even be having the game? And secondly, is LeBron really looking forward to having to go cross-country to play in this Farskill 48?
Dibs, I am not a huge fan of the game, personally. I just don't think this is the year for the game. There wasn't a plan to have one. That being said, I understand the business of the NBA if I can play both sides. So I understand why they want to have it. But if you think guys like LeBron James and other players want to go play in this game when so much is taken out of it, right? It is about the fans and the pomp and circumstance of it all. I think it's going to be difficult for those guys because they want the break. But they'll be pros. They'll go down there. So will Steph. So will LeBron. And they'll put on a show like they always do. I mean, if it was I personally, I'd be okay if he jumped center and then left. But I know he's not going to. Yeah, I think it's a tough year to have this game for sure. Because I think it is so much about the whole weekend. And I understand the NBA. And listen, I have a lot of respect for belief in what the NBA does, what they've shown, what they're able to do in the bubble and all that stuff. I hold them to a really high standard. So I get why they want to have the game and TNT and you have sponsors and you have to do what you have to do as a business. It doesn't mean all the players have to like it, but one thing I love about the NBA is they always seem to kind of find some common ground and move forward.
Yeah, hey, Chris, thank you so much, especially on that last answer. It really goes to show you how you can present both sides of an argument, see both sides, and then make a rational comment. My buddy Dan Dibley, it's like if your toes aren't on fire by the time you're done with your take, I mean, it's just not good enough.
You can only eat so much oatmeal, Geeter.
Were you panicked over the loss last night? Are you okay?
I'm not panicked over the loss, but I'm more panicked over my partner, my good friend Steiny's inability to really have an opinion ever, Geeter.
Hey, Geeter,
get this. What bothers me, guys? Hold on. Can I say what bothers me? Dre getting the two technicals. That's the game that bothered me.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
You would have made a good Warrior fan then the next day. We could have had you call in and everything.
Guys, you let me know when you need me to be disguised as a Warrior fan. I'll call in and set some things straight. I have no problem doing that for
all right.
Guys.
Hey, I really appreciate you joining us, Chris, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, guys. Always. Later.
Right, be good, Chris Geeter. Be good. He's good people.
I like him.
He's fine. Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah. When we get back to normal post-pandemic and when the AVP comes to town, the Association of Volleyball Professionals, he's the on-sand host. So when you come out and then they blare the music, introducing, he's the hype man. Oh. He's the on-sand host. He's been doing that for like 20 years. He's awesome. So, no, he's out there. It's such a great show he puts on. So we'll do a little show outing, Kyle. When Geeter comes to town with the AVP.
I'm worried he's a little too objective, but that's, I think we can work with that a little bit.
He went a little Janet Jackson style. He took control a little bit. He said, hold on.
He said, hold on.
He went in. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna talk about the officiating in a second. Matt Barnes was, by the way, but here's how I'm going to start it. So now what? So now you can head fake from 3-point range, lunge into the defender at full speed, hit him with an elbow right to the chin, take your 3 free throws.
And we'll review it. And we'll review it.
And I know
it's still not turned it over.
It wasn't outstretched. That is not a foul. That's just, it's awful. It's, God, I hate it.
It's the rules. It's the rule book, not the rule enforcers. And that's where we have to separate person from paper. Because the rule book stinks as they've laid this out. And it used to be where to get a shooting foul, you had to be doing some sort of a shooting motion.
Gotcha.
And that was something that was a prerequisite for getting free throws. You had to actually be taking a shot. Now, like he says, it's head fake, get the defender moving, and you just jump into him. And you don't even have to throw the ball toward the rim. You're getting the call. So until they change the rule itself, we got too much of a problem.
Is Harden the – who manipulated this? Harden?
They
I think Harden started
it,
though.
They do.
Man.
Every single one of them. They're all bums.
It's Warriors on mine all day, but I felt dirty watching Steph shoot those three fouls.
Yeah, but he cut it to
26. Dude in the face. He gave him the 20.
Reggie Miller, I think. I'd give Reggie Miller credit because he was the first one to use his legs as a foul-drawing weapon. His ability to shoot and the kick out and then the, I think he was the first one to really to really have that in his game. But now, yeah, now it's Steiny. It's as important as the jab step, the ability to throw yourself into the defender. Oh.
Dibs, why do you think that actually does get me mad?
It gets
because
us
it's
mad.
Not basketball.
Right.
It's not basketball. And you know what really started it? And I don't know when this rule came in, but continuation. Because now with continuation is when it started, where you dribble and you kind of get bumped by somebody. As long as you only take one more step, or as long as you don't dribble again, you get continuation. And then they started giving continuation for everything. Well, now it's bump, gather step, 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 finish, and one. It's like, I fouled you 20 feet ago, yet now it's a shooting foul.
I'll tell you what, and there was one last night, too, and I just need Spadone to look over. The play where they called a foul on Caruso, who was kind of in back of Curry.
I thought he hit him, though.
The thing about Curry is he's got a way of making it look like there's contact when there's no – like, he's got – like, he almost has six releases, and after every release, he can exaggerate a follow-through – he can exaggerate a foot, a left hand. It's just, and again, let me make it clear. It's not just Curry. It's just awful. They got to figure out a way to get that under control.
They're getting Robert De Niro on. They're acting, Dibs.
Seriously, though, it's all part of the training, is learning to maintain your balance while throwing yourself into other people.
Apparently we got news. Is that true, Spadone?
Yes.
Lloyd Pierce. Fired in Atlanta. Yeah.
Gone, Steiny.
Did you see Pierce's quote the other day?
No.
Great quote. Basically said, people asked me, this is about 2 weeks ago. I said, people ask me if I'm nervous because I might get fired. He goes, I'll tell you right now, Travis is going to fire me. He's absolutely going to fire me at some point. Might be next week, might be next year, but what am I going to do? The guy gave me an opportunity. He's damn near my best friend. I know he's going to fire me, and it'll be fine. You know, anyway.
Gone.
Saying all the
pour
right
out
things.
A little liquor, Steiny and Dibs.
I say I don't another, like to do that.
Another black coach down the drain, man.
But hopefully, yeah. But you know what? It looks like Nate McMillan will probably take over.
Oh,
right? He's their number one assistant.
Let's hope. Yeah, right. Well, wow.
Hey,
damn.
What was I going to say? Oh, let's go to Top Notch real quick. Top Notch.
What about?
We got Matt Barnes. We got time. Is that what you wanted, Dibs?
Top Notch.
Okay.
What do you got?
Because he wanted to say something about Wiggins. What's up, Top Notch?
Hey, man, I just want to talk about Wiggins. I think his free throwing sucks, man.
Yeah, 66%.
I mean, like one every time he goes to the line.
He misses one out of three. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, for
terrible.
A top dollar player like that, I mean, I think he needs to improve on that. I just want to say that. Thanks
for the call. The guy is really, really good at making one out of two. I will say that. Take a listen to what Matt Barnes said. This was with the morning show, DRK, this morning. Matt Barnes talking about the officials. Here we go.
A lot of it is ego, too, which is unfortunate. And the refs have to understand not one person watching that game is tuned in to watch the referees. And I think sometimes ego and pride as a man takes over these guys, and they don't want to be shown up by players. And I get that, but at the same time, they have to understand the emotion of the game. And if they've been in the game long enough, they know how high emotions run during games and during big games in particular, and kind of have to have that understanding. Now, it's a tough job. No one's saying being a referee is easy, because no matter what call you make, half the gym is going to be mad at you. So it's definitely not an easy job, but it's a job they picked, and they definitely have to do a better job, because the way that these teams are being thrown out left and right and then being rescinded, but in the moment, it's costing teams games, which, with the shortened season, is very important.
Dibs, Matt Barnes, refs got to check their egos at the door.
Sure, yeah, and that's great, Matt. And I'll tell you what, every time that player X turns the ball over, okay, how about the refs all just turn to the player and tell the player what an idiot he is, and how could you be so effing stupid to throw the ball behind somebody? And every time, how about this? You go one for two from the foul line and you start to head down the floor. What if the three refs run over and tell you what a piece of garbage you are for not being able to hit both free throws? how about we turn it on the other side of the coin here? Because it's about more than just, oh, the refs need to check their ego at the door. I'd like to see anybody out there at work listening to us on the stream, the radio.com app. You make a mistake in your job, and let's see how you feel if everybody around you starts screaming at you and telling you what a bum you are. The whole paradigm between athlete and official, fans and official, coaches and official, it's just such a negative relationship, and yet we want these refs to, I'll tell you what, come out here, do your best, be perfect, and don't react when we scream at you, okay? How's that sound? It's unreasonable what we expect these people to do.
Wow.
I actually think, for the most part, and Dibs, you and I are probably in the minority here, I think the refs, for the most part, do a great job in allowing that first reaction. Sometimes they don't, and sometimes, you know, I do think they're a little quick, but again, Dibs, this is where I'm with you. I think it's less about the referees than their rule book. And if a player gets a foul called on him and he gives the ref that wave off, it's a technical foul, period, according to the rule book. Now, if you want to change that rule and you want to say, let's try to give each player that one split second emotion without it, then put it in there. Then put it in there. But the to me, I'm with Dibs. The biggest problem with officiating in the NBA is not the officials. It's the rule book and the way they want rules interpreted. I believe the officials are actually officiating games exactly like the league wants. I think it's
and
more
that's not
problem.
Good because I'll tell you this, guys. I believe this is the worst the relationship has been between the players and referees in the existence of the NBA. I'll even go to the ABA. And I'll also say this, fellas, and I mean this. Do I think these refs get in their car and comb their hair and brush their teeth and say, oh, I can't wait to make a bunch of calls so I can be in HD on TNT or whatever, ESPN or ABC? I don't think they want to be a part of the game, but I think what's happening, and I mean this, is some of these guys hate to mess up. They know how heavy the stakes are, and they need an antagonist because it can't be the player or themselves for messing up, and they go with the refs. And I said it. What if I couldn't be a ref? Having Draymond or somebody coming at me with muscles and venom, I'm a ball up, Stoney. I'm going to try to – maybe I take it out on you on the next call. But it's as bad as it's ever been, and something's got to give. And at least football players have the uniform and helmet on to where – The NBA, they're right there, man, and it's bad. It's Michael Jackson bad.
I wonder. You know, I remember, 20 years ago, Nick Van Exel shoving Ronnie Garretson. Ronnie Garretson, not Daryl. So, there's always been guys who have had run-ins with Dibs, we had a question for you from the text line. True or false, Dibs, 15 to 20 years ago, officials would talk more before calling a technical foul. There was more dialogue.
Absolutely. And I would also say, though, that players were far less demonstrative over what seemingly is each and every call. And part of that comes from technology because we've got in-arena replays. So Draymond gets called. We'll use Draymond as an example because he's argued a time or two a call. But he reaches in on a drive to the hoop, and it's a tough call, and the ref calls him for a foul, and then immediately you see all the players look up, and they're looking at the screen. And now you see on the replay that it clearly was hand on ball, so now we're going crazy, and the crowd's going crazy, and the ref's like, okay, it was a bang-bang call, I missed it, and then now we got to review it. And now we review it, and now we're showing it over and over and over, and it's like, how, and you have the play-by-play announcer maybe saying that, oh, how could you miss that one, Jim? The young official in our league, and next thing you know, it becomes a bigger deal than the old days. It was, all right, you'll get the next one. We're not going to review it. And then the next call that's bang, bang, it goes Draymond's way, and everybody's happy.
Right. And I think it's too much, too, on the other end, Dibs, where there'll be a bang, bang play. The officials will call a foul. Let's just say hypothetically. Against Draymond Green. He's been known to get a foul.
Hypotheticals.
And he just goes you know, oh, you terrible this, terrible that, terrible the other thing, and they go to the replay and you're like, that's a foul. That's the one that bothers me when a guy is adamant about not fouling and they go to the replay and you're thinking, you're complaining on that? That's the obvious one.
Watch Luka play. I love him, but he complains every play to the ref. He's looking at him every play. He can't miss. I was fouled.
Luka. You're right. He's crybaby. He's crybaby.
They all are, man. Except Steph.
I mean, yeah. Well, but Steph just knows how to do it. Steph knows how to communicate to officials.
That's a skill.
I mean, seriously. I mean, he, you know. See, that's where Steph, and not everybody can be like Steph. Bad call against you. Hold it in. Hold it in. You know, shake your head. Now the guy's shooting free throws. Really? I don't think I hit him there. You know, that's the way refs want to do it. All right. Apparently, DRK, they've decided already they are going to forget about the Warriors-Laker game, and instead they're looking ahead to a good week. They got a George Sedano at 3:30. He was the sideline guy yesterday.
God, I hate that guy.
Well, I does Raven know the guy? I guess he knows everybody. Raven anyway, George Sedano on with DRK right on the other side. Thanks for listening, everybody.